medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. With me this week and every week, okay, well, most weeks anyway, is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, do you have all your Christmas shopping done?
Hey, Chandra. No, of course not. I am notorious for procrastinating, so why would I change? I mean, it's a little early to start now. I mean, maybe tomorrow there'll at least be a two in front of the date and T-minus 5 days. And yeah, maybe I'll feel the pressure at that point. Like most things, I need ample motivation, ample stress to really take action. Helps me think clearly, stop sleeping, wake up in the middle of the night in a panic. Then I know I'm primed and ready to attack whatever it is. So now, how about you? I suppose you've been done for like a month.
No, not a month, but I'm actually pretty close to done. I've got one or two things left.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sweet.
Yeah.
That's great. I look forward to seeing what you get me.
Why would I get my podcast partner something? Maybe a lump of coal.
Wow. Jeez. That's so kind of you.
I know.
I'll get you a book on real Midwesternisms. Okay.
Oh, well, I was actually going to say, well, as my dad would say whenever I tell him he's so kind, he says, my kindness is only exceeded by my generosity and good looks.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I know. Uh-huh. He's got some good ones in there.
All right. Well, what are we going over today?
Well, we are going to do the 2025 year in review for the JDE Connection. We're going to talk about what we learned, what we broke, what we fixed, and what we laughed about.
Yeah, we're going to do that all in 30 minutes or less. Great. Actually, hard to believe that we're coming up on the end of 2025. It's almost another year down, almost another full year of the JDE Connection as well. Crazy.
I know. All right. So I guess my first question is, how did we talk this much in 1 year? I mean, we're up to episode 90 now. We didn't drop all 90 this year, but we dropped 40 some episodes this year.
Well, obviously, we had a lot to say in 2025, even if we can't remember exactly what it was that we said, right? I mean, we did cover quite a bit. We maybe started the year off talking about, if I remember right, we talked about a lot of feature function. We were doing those module highlights and talking about logistics. And then closer to the end of the year, I guess one of my highlights, too, was our conversation about leadership and the marathon and what we both took away from that. And then, of course, you seem to be getting a little bit more technical in your new role. And so now we're exploring some of the developer tools and other things that can be used to kind of peek underneath the covers, get you over that fear. And I'm sure throughout the year, really, it's been therapeutic for everybody to listen to us, for sure. There's no doubt.
Oh, no doubt. 100%. I think our unofficial theme that's become, I think, more of a central theme throughout JD Edwards with the, I would say, advancements in the tech tools is, just because you can customize it doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, that's kind of up quite a bit, right? We pride ourselves on the flexibility that we provide, and everybody's taken advantage of that over the years, and breaking that habit is really difficult. And you do have to ask yourself that question. And I think we repeated that a number of times throughout the year, because we do get faced with, is there a methodology for displacing some of this stuff? And there is, but first you have to stop building the debt. So first you have to put this in place and realize that just because you can doesn't mean you necessarily should take another approach. So good call.
Exactly. And I think episodes kind of 44 to 47 took us back to the basics a little bit, similar to what we had been doing in 2024, if you will. And we talked about, like you said, the logistics module, but then we kind of dove into UDOs. They're very powerful. Sometimes I think they're a little misunderstood and, well, occasionally they might be a little bit abused. So we wanted to make sure that we provided some education to our listeners on those.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see how leveraged they are becoming. And it kind of leads back to that previous question that you can't ask the question just because you can customize it doesn't mean you should. You can't really ask that question without UDOs. It's the advent of UDOs that has really made it reasonable to ask that question and push people in a different direction. But while they've become very popular as a result, understanding how to manage those things and the correct approach to things like, this stuff sounds boring, I'm sure, but naming conventions and stuff like that, standards, having actual standards. I mean, if you're going to future-proof yourself, I'm sorry, you got to take the time up front to really establish these things so that you can make heads or tails of them as they grow, as the volume of objects actually grow. So here's a quick test for you. What's the worst object name that you think we saw this year?
That's an easy one. Test.
Oh, man. I see. I put it in the question. Here's a test for you. Jeez. Gosh.
Yep.
That wasn't even.
Teed that up so nicely. Thanks. Thanks for giving me the answer.
Yeah. I mean, how many Testo ones do we see? Or we see V1, V2, V3, V4, right? So.
Yes. No. That's another one.
Yeah.
For test one, test two, test three, test four. Let's combine them a little. And when you name several UDOs, different kinds of UDOs, test, 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 and then you're calling multiple UDOs in something, and then you're like, which test was that?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Which one adds the sales order? I don't know. Well, then we moved on, though. I remember we asked this guest to come on, and his first comment was, well, no one wants to listen to me. And now the infamous Clayton Seeley is the number one guest that we've had as far as popularity when we look at downloads. And that was, of course, us introducing a topic that maybe some might have thought, why are you guys talking about CNC, right? What did he say to you when you showed up at one of his sessions this year?
What are you doing in here? You don't belong here.
Exactly. Exactly. So here we are. We talk about it, but we bring on the experts to talk about it. That gives us credibility, or at least them more credibility. But hopefully we showed people that CNC isn't as mysterious. Still opinionated. Oh, I said it. But anyway.
Was that out loud? That was your outside voice, Paul.
But I mean, it was fun to go over things in those episodes. That was, I think, 48 through 52, zero downtime. What does that look like? We pulled on John Holder to talk about VBQs, virtual batch queues.
And those don't fix bad design no matter what you do.
Fair. That's right. Fair.
Still need good design, still need good thought put into it, kind of like your UDO naming convention. Need to put some thought into it, or it's going to create a mess later.
Yes. And of course, we touched on security, one of your favorite topics. Who owns it? Where does it belong? Why is it important? So those were a lot of fun, very informative sessions.
Yes, exactly. And those things sound so simple in a meeting, but they're really not when you get into the design of them. It comes back to, let's bring the people in early. Let's talk through all of it. Then let's implement it. Mm-hmm. Well, then we took a little step back in time. We brought Ward Quarles on for episodes 53 and 54 and had a little bit of history lesson. I'm not sure if it's so we'd stop repeating it or if it's so that we actually continue on with some of the great things.
Yeah, right? I think we've paid tribute to our history, and because that is where our culture has come from. We keep saying we wouldn't be where we're at today if it wasn't from where we came from. And that's where, again, we took that napkin story. You heard the napkin story in focus this year that came out of that episode with Ward. And I mean, that was a lot of fun listening to him kind of roll back the tape a little bit.
It absolutely was. I really enjoyed that conversation. And I learned a lot about J.D. Edwards that I didn't know before, and about the founders and the people. The culture sounds like it was pretty amazing, and still is, quite frankly.
Well, and to be fair, we've got this name of this podcast called the JDE Connection. And listening to Ward tells some of his stories, that word connection really resonates, right? There's more to it. It really put a lot of real world experiences behind the connection part of our podcast. So that was pretty cool.
It was.
We're almost 12, 13 minutes in, and we haven't mentioned this buzzword that nobody got away with talking about software or talking about IT or having any conversations or any sessions this year without talking about, of course, AI. So episode 55, we decided to kind of break down. I think I had just gotten back from a recent in-person event and wanted to share some of my takeaways and talk about the fact that, well, AI, it was a buzzword, right? You got to figure out whether or not it's everything that it's hyped up to be, or is it just that, just hype? Is it just another tool in the box, or is it truly something that's transformational? Speaking of tools in the box, you got to make sure that you're using the right tool. We're definitely living in a time right now where AI and automation are now synonymous. Anywhere where you need automation, you just think AI, AI, AI. And the reality is that's not 100% true.
Exactly. I think we're still learning so much. I feel like we're still really in its infancy. We know some of its capabilities, but determining what is actually really going to help us versus what is just a little bit more hype and exactly how to use it to help us. Episodes 56, 57, and 82 on this one. People before things is what I want to kind of encapsulate that into, that category, if you will. So obviously Chris Laping's book is titled People Before Things. And yes, I'm still saying it, put the people before the things. He did such a great job with that book. And not only that, he was the keynote speaker at our Blueprint 4D conference this year. And I know he was also at In Focus, really talking about leadership and change management and how transformation can fail when people are an afterthought, how the behavior of the leadership in the organization really sets that ceiling for adoption. If they're really advocating for these changes and they're helping guide the change instead of just like, yep, we support this, we'll show up at this meeting, but we don't really engage outside of that, makes such a big difference in the success of a change in your organization.
Totally agree. I mean, there's so many quotes that we could pull out of our interactions with Chris. I mean, whatever change it is that you're leading, whatever the initiative is, don't make it a side hustle. So many change initiatives fail because they are truly just something that somebody's doing part-time on the side and not fully focused. And I've seen that in my own career where things just don't progress. And as I reflect on some of those failures, I can point to the fact that, well, yeah, it was because we didn't have clear focus and whatnot. And then to your point, the support, the sponsorship, the commitment from senior leadership, not just words, not just showing up the meetings, but actually skin in the game and participating and contributing makes a huge difference. I think in that same batch, though, I think you listed 56 and 57, but you also called out 82. And 82 was, I believe, our marathon in leadership, which we had mentioned a little bit earlier. Again, just going back to what can we take away from what it takes to train and what it takes to do a marathon and what does it take to lead, right?
Yes, absolutely. When I reflect back on that episode, I do think about change fatigue or fatigue in general. It's definitely a thing for organizations, for the people. And it's a thing when you're training for a marathon or when you're racing a marathon for that, or just running it if you're not into racing. It's legit, right? And it's important to recognize it. It's important to acknowledge it. And it's important to see when it's happening. And part of that, when you're training, it's very easy because you do your buildups, your long runs build up over the weeks in your training cycle. And you kind of learn what it feels like to know, like, ooh, I'm going to run out of energy. I should probably take some more fuel. I'm feeling a little tired. Maybe I need some more fuel. Same thing, I think, can apply in an organization where you can start almost feeling when people have change fatigue or even seeing it in the way they interact, maybe they're shorter in responding, or they just look kind of burnt out. They look fatigued.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And some of it is just, it's so much change all at once and it becomes exhausting.
So what's harder then? Mile 18 of a marathon or month 18 of some sort of ERP change initiative?
I think I'm going to go with the latter.
Of course you would. Mile 18 of a marathon, you only have one personality to deal with, and that's the one in your head. Unless, of course, you're like some of us, which maybe we have multiple. But month 18 of an ERP change initiative, all the personalities and everything, it makes it a little more difficult. Politics probably come in. Okay, yeah. We digress.
Well, next, everybody's job, but nobody's favorite topic, security. We covered this in detail in episodes 58 and 59, where, again, we really covered who owns J.D. Mm-hmm. Edwards Security. Maybe a little bit why security by accident really isn't your best strategy when it comes to governing your J.D. Edwards Security. Yeah. And we talked about dream states versus reality. There were several people, several conversations I've had where it's like, oh, man, I really wish we could do X, Y, and Z, but here we are, and this is what we need to contend with. So,
yeah, I mean, I think one of the takeaways there was back to that planning, right? And
yes,
really thinking ahead when it comes to this, because you can quickly get buried and stuck where it's going to take a major effort to unravel the mess and reconfigure things. And so it's definitely something that you just don't want to luck yourself into or fall into, or security by accident, as you said. So,
yeah. And we appreciate our guests coming on for that, because that was a two-parter for us where we had Matthias Freitag, Nimish Patel, and Andrew Ostick on mm-hmm. for that episode. They had great insights. I really enjoyed that conversation. It was fun to, you know, even as part of it, almost bouncing ideas or garnering ideas from what mm-hmm. others were doing.
All right. Well, one of the themes that kind of resonated, I think, throughout the year was adoption in several of our episodes as we went through functionality and trying to explain some of these capabilities and where they might apply. Adoption and enablement came into question. I know, well, back in Blueprint, we started asking 2005 versus 2025, are you stuck in the past? Why aren't people actually using some of these cool capabilities that we have, whether it be Cafe One, UX One, Orchestrator? I mean, there's just a process modeler. There's so many different capabilities that we have that we wish people would adopt and find benefit from. But in episode 71 through 75, as well as 79 through 81, and then, of course, 84, we touched on things, as I mentioned, Cafe One. We also talked about dependencies. If you remember, we had Jason Rice come on, and because we had just gotten back from InFocus, we had just talked about, I believe, impact analysis. And prior to that, I had talked about baselines. And we almost did this in reverse order. We probably should have talked about dependencies first, then baselines, and then impact analysis. But anyway, hey, guess what? You can listen to our episodes in whatever order you like.
True story. Exactly. If it makes more sense, go back and re-listen to them in that order.
Yep.
I was going to say, the why aren't people using this? A lot of it, sometimes I feel like, has to do with learning and the challenges that are out there for organizations to be able to send people to conferences, especially in the environment that we're in now, where a lot of companies are cutting back costs, travel budgets, etc. If people aren't attending conferences, if they're not engaged in the SIG groups, yes, there's resources that are free, like Learn JDE. And as long as they're members of Quest, you can get to some really good information through Quest. But I think that barrier of not being able to attend and engage with other people to brainstorm, to get ideas, to see how people are using it. Yeah, you guys put out a lot of great enhancements for us. But sometimes it's really hard, I think, as we talked about in one of our sessions, to understand how that's going to apply in my world. For example, I think we talked about, I can't remember which episode off the top of my head it was, but it might have been, was it the application update where we talked about process modeler?
Mm-hmm.
where it was
talk
like
release,
I'm not
release 26 and process modeler and where is that gonna help you, like on the surface, it sounds good, heck, it demos good, it's kind of neat, but really what does that mean to me in my day in the life? What questions am I getting in this case? What questions are you getting from the business that you might be able to use a tool like that to say, hey, have you seen this, or here's your answer, or whatever? Again, we're constantly putting out content, we being the JD Edwards product development team, trying to put out content to increase your awareness of what's out there and help you understand how you can use it, how you can apply it. Are we perfect? By no means. And what we also find is that once you get behind, if you're not keeping up to date, it's hard enough to simply get the delta, get the net change release to release and try to digest that and figure out where you're going to use it, let alone if you go 3 years without taking a look at this stuff. When you get that far behind, it's overwhelming when you look at the amount of change and what you might be able to take advantage of and where do you start?
Yep.
And that becomes intimidating. And then all that does is create more barriers to adoption as well. Yep. So again, I think this is a challenge we'll continue to talk about, we'll continue to face, we'll continue to brainstorm on and share ideas for how you get over that hump and how you manage this better as we go forward. It's not one that's just going to go away. Right.
Well, and I think that's partially too where this offering comes in. You look at episodes 81, 83, 85, 87, where we started talking about form design aid for BAs, not just developers, right? How can I get in there as a BA and understand what an application is doing? What tables it updating? Realizing it doesn't have to be scary. I can still learn, right? It goes back to that learning. I'm learning more about the software, which allows me to ask better questions, both to my development or technical team, CNCs included, and to my users, to the business, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we talk so much about that curiosity, and I think we're going through the tools that you might be able to leverage to satisfy that curiosity. You need to be, you know, curious. That doesn't mean you should be intimidated or have this fear that some of these things are beyond your reach. And we want to knock that down. We want to pull back the curtain and show you that at the end of the day, it's not as scary as you might think. I'm sorry. I mean, talking to Clayton can be scary. It can be, but you know,
absolutely. Sometimes I'm like, what language are you speaking? Because I'm lost.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. So then, of course, we have all the events that occurred this year, all our in-conference events that we covered in 64, 74, 76, 77, and 88. That's Blueprint 4D, the preview, the actual recaps, in focus preview and recaps. And then, of course, my tour that I just completed a couple of weeks ago to AU Sales Days in Europe, kind of covering major themes out of what we took away from those interactions. What were the best sessions? What were the best messages? What were the best practical real world stories, use cases, what have you? Once again, we talked a lot about Chris Lapine and another one of his quotes, right? Do for versus do with. I think that was our session at Blueprint, and just trying to engage with the community as to, does that resonate with them? Does that mean something to them? Because most of us are in IT and we're working with the business. And the question that you find yourself asking is, do you do it for them or do you do it with them? Are you waiting for their direction and their collaboration, or are you anticipating their needs and leveraging what you know about technology to throw ahead of the runner and do something for them, right? That was a great conversation. At In Focus, we brought up impact analysis and demonstrating, let's not make a mountain out of a molehill when necessarily taking an ESU, because when we look at it, it looks like this big, scary thing with baselines that we talked about and dependencies that we talked about and all this. But if you use these tools that we've provided, you can quickly dissect that and whittle away at that to find out exactly what it is that you're going to be impacted by so that you can better plan. And you might realize that it's not as big and scary, and the scope is much more manageable than you thought. What's one of your takeaways from these conferences and the interactions that you had?
I think my favorite takeaway from Blueprint 40. Are you running your JD Edwards like 2005 or 2025? Or Maybe 1995.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You know. Shout out to Rob McDonald on that one when he tells me as I come off stage, 2005. What? You didn't go back far enough. How about 1995? I was like, ow.
Ouch. Well, it ties into adoption, quite frankly, because if you're running it like it's 2005, meaning, yeah, you've put in upgrades since then. It's not like I'm still running on the version from 2005, although maybe some people are. But you really just upgraded and moved on. So you have not adopted. Yes, it's 2025, but you're running it just like you were in 2005. You haven't reevaluated anything.
Correct. I mean, that, again, when we look at the big takeaways from 2025 and like some of the themes, adoption we talked about is one of them. And I think JD Edwards customers have invested a lot of time and energy in tailoring the solution, sometimes through customization, sometimes through personalization and extension. But the reality is they've tailored their solution to fit their business and it works for their business with all the additional bells and whistles strung off of it, whether you need it for operational reporting, you need it for planning and budgeting, you know, whatever. You've got other systems that you connect and bolt on. The reality is you've got this system and it truly does work for you. So when you start doing these uplifts, it's difficult to think about adoption. It's difficult to think about rehashing things because, hey, if it's not broke, why do I need to fix it?
Right.
Right.
And so it risks breaking something if I try.
Exactly. So they've got a great product. It works for them. They're happy with it. So they keep it up to date. They keep it compliant and they go focus on other initiatives. But periodically, hey, guess what? You got to stop and reevaluate and see what's out there because there is a lot of opportunity that you're missing.
Absolutely. Well, closing out, I'm looking forward to 2026 for another great year of episodes and education and sharing and thoughts and brainstorming. I'm excited again, still.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
No, I mean, this has been a great year. I love doing the podcast. I love having our conversations. I love talking to the other folks in the community that come on. And I look forward to next year expanding that. We've got some great guests already lined up, but we've also had some great ideas in the hopper about how we're going to expand the podcast to a broader set of our community. And I think we've got great things ahead. So, you know, I would thank everybody, thank our listeners and our friends and everybody else that have supported us so far on this journey for making this as successful as it has. And we look forward to obviously continuing it into the future. But before we go, I mean, we can't end the last episode of 2025 without at least one final Midwesternism.
Yes. Well, continuing on with our Midwestern holiday foods theme, we're going to talk about puppy chow.
Okay. So let's talk about dog food. Woohoo!
No, it's not dog food.
It's not dog food?
You've probably had this. Do you recognize the term or not?
I recognize it as dog food. I'm not sure why we would put dog food out in small little bowls for people to graze on during the holidays. But if that's a Midwest thing, maybe that happened after I left. I mean, my grandparents did live in Perm, Minnesota, and there literally was it could have been a puppy chow manufacturing facility right there. There was a dog food manufacturing facility. So, I mean, when you say puppy chow, that's where I'm going. Sorry.
Yeah, no, this is not that at all. Well, it's okay. Also known as Muddy Buddies, or at this time of year, it can be called reindeer chow as well.
Okay.
It's actually, I don't know, you can call it a dessert snack. I don't know which category it fits into, but it's basically like your rice Chex cereal. So the rice cereal squares, chocolate chips, peanut butter, and confectioner sugar all mixed together. It's amazing. You'd melt down your chocolate chips and your peanut butter, and you cover your rice cereal squares. I've done it in a Ziploc bag and then lay it out, let it cool down a little bit. I put it back in the bag and then I sprinkle the powdered sugar in and it sticks to the chocolate chips and peanut butter. You just don't want to do it when it's too warm because then it takes the white coloring off of it because it gets the powdered sugar gets melted. So you got to do it at just kind of the right time.
I see. Well, it actually sounds pretty good. It's got peanut butter and chocolate chips, so it's not like you can...
What more do you need? And a little crunch. I mean, if I threw some salt on it, oh, I'm in. You know, the chocolate peanut... Yeah, chocolate peanut butter salt, I'm in.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess I could just use salted peanut butter.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for our listeners, just so they know, we will be off for a couple of weeks. We give ourselves a little bit of a break over the holidays, as well as our fabulous team at Quest and our editor. Give them a little bit of a break to enjoy holiday season with their friends and family. So we'll be returning to the air in early January.
Until then.
Until then, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
Did you know staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest? Sign up for the free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content, publications, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.